الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class we had read a portion of the introduction that the author he mentioned حفظه الله تعالى, clarifying the way of the devil with regards to attempting to mislead the children of Adam, and that is that if he finds them being negligent and clinging to the worldly life and tried by lust and desires, then he'll tempt them. He'll tempt them by making sins fair seeming to them and entice them to fall into actions of disobedience and follow their desires in disobedience and rebellion against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he finds that they have determination to be obedient and to strive to uphold the religion, then he will try to tempt them to go to extremes. He will try to tempt them to go to extremes and exaggeration in the religion and transgress the boundaries in obedience. With regards to the first aspect, he mentioned the narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned حُجِبَتْ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُجِبَتْ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ, that the paradise has been veiled. And one wording likewise, حُفَّتْ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ, it's covered, surrounded, veiled. The Jannah is veiled, surrounded by hardships and difficulties. And the hellfire, حُفَّتْ وَحُجِبَتْ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ, the hellfire is surrounded and veiled with shahawat. The shahawat are the impermissible lusts and desires. So the one who falls into them head first, then he will find himself on the other side. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And as for the one who is patient and perseveres and has great determination to bear the hardship of obedience this life, then he will find himself likewise on the other side. That is the pleasure of Allah and His mercy. The pleasure of Allah and His mercy. On the other hand, there are individuals who are not necessarily tried by sins and clinging to the worldly life, rather they are hoping to strive for the hereafter and have aspirations to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but as well the devil takes advantage of them. The devil takes advantage of them by misleading them and causing them to go to extremes. And the first case in doing that is turning them away from knowledge and the people of knowledge, confusing them with regards to this affair. So these people here, they're not following the shahawat, but they're following the ahwa. Ahwa. So the translation is very similar. Ash-shahawat wal ahwa. They both are translated to mean desires. But the people of knowledge, generally, they differentiate. The shahawat is with regards to the impermissible lusts, any from actions of disobedience, and following one's lust and desires, base desires, and partaking in pleasures that are forbidden. This is from the aspect of shahawat. As for the aspects of deviation and misguidance in the religion, with regards to the shubuhat, this is also yani been considered desires, but the people of knowledge, they call them ahwa al-mudilla, the misleading desires and misconceptions and innovations in the religion. So the first aspect is dealt with and treated by having strong determination. And the second aspect is dealt with and treated by having sound and profound knowledge. So if a person has sound knowledge and likewise is strong in determination, then the devil, he will not be able to mislead him. But if he falls weak in one of these areas, then he's exposed to the devil accordingly. Likewise, we have seen in our previous class that the issue of the shubuhat and the ahwa and mudilla, they're more severe than the shahawat, but in any case, they both lead a person away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we had read a number of texts, and we have come to the narration that the author he mentioned, which is muttafaqun alayhi, which is the narration of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man yuridillahu bihi khayran يفقه في الدين, that whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him understanding in the religion. And he mentioned that it's clearly understood from this text here that the sign that Allah wants good for someone is that He'll grant them an understanding in the religion. And we have seen that the people of knowledge, they mentioned that what is intended by the understanding, a good understanding of the religion, an understanding that is coupled with action. And also it's understood from that narration likewise that a sign that Allah does not intend good for a person is that He will not grant him understanding in the religion. Meaning a person, he'll be tried with having a bad understanding of the religion. And from the bad understanding of the religion is the understanding of the Khawarij and those who followed their way. and those who follow their way. Likewise, all of the deviant sects, any those who are contrary to them and the opposite as well from the murji'ah, and those who have deviated in their creed and belief and their methodology and their way or their manners and their conduct. This is all from having a bad understanding in the religion. But here the author, he is focusing specifically on this bad understanding of the Khawarij. And it's very suitable for our days specifically. And likewise, this is the first bad understanding and the first deviation and innovation that was introduced into al-Islam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we continue reading from where we left off. And he mentioned, وَمِن سُوءِ الْفَهْمِ وَمِن سُوءِ الْفَهْمِ فِي الدِّينِ مَا حَصَّلَ لِلْخَوَارِجِ مَا حَصَّلَ لِلْخَوَارِجِ الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا عَلَى عَلِيٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَقَاتَلُوهُ فَإِنَّهُمْ فَهِمُوا النُّصُوصَ الشَّرْعِيَةَ فَهْمًا خَاطِئًا مُخَالِفًا لِفَهْمِ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا نَظَرَهُمْ ابْنُ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا بَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْفَهْمَ الصَّحِيحَ لِلنُّصُوصِ فَرَجَعَ مَنْ رَجَعَ مِنْهُمْ وَبَقِيَ مَنْ لَمْ يَرْجِعْ عَلَى ضَلَالِهِ. Among the forms of bad understanding, the misunderstandings in the religion, is what occurred with the Khawarij, who rebelled against Ali radiallahu anhu and fought against him. They misunderstood the religious texts in a way contrary to the understanding of the companions. This is the number one point. This is where they deviated. This is the focal point of deviation for the Khawarij, and likewise for the people after them from the deviant sects. They have an understanding contrary to the understanding of the Sahaba. They have an understanding about Islam, practice and ideology about the deen of Allah that's not understood nor practiced by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They misunderstood the religious texts in a way contrary to the understanding of the companions radiyallahu anhum. Thus, when Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma debated with him, he clarified to them the correct understanding of the text. Some of them returned to the truth, while those who did not return remained in their misguidance. So now the author, he's going to mention the story of the debate between Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and the Khawarij. Ali had chosen and selected Ibn Abbas to speak to them and to debate with him, to call them to the truth and try to clarify their doubts and misconceptions in order for them to go straight and to repent. So this is about the Khawarij. The people of Nahr, as they mentioned, that they're called the Khawarij لِخُرُوجِهِمْ عَلَى النَّاسِ أو لخروجهم عن طاعة الإمام أو لخروجهم عن مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. Any all of these reasons have been mentioned. They're considered the Khawarij, which really means those people who go out, they go against, those who revolt and go against and turn away. Any of that, this is because they have opposed and revolted against the people and left them. And likewise, because they have opposed and rebelled against the obedience of the Imam and the Muslim ruler, as well as opposing and going away from the proper methodology and understanding of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. They have opposed all of these affairs. Kharaju an hadha kulli. They went out against the believers and turned against them and revolted against them, as well as revolting against the Imam and the Muslim ruler and rebelling against him, as well as opposing and going against the methodology and sound understanding of the people of the Sunnah. And their opinion and their way initially and in general is that they declare the person who commits a major sin to be a disbeliever. And if he died in that manner, he will abide in the hellfire for eternity. And their methodology and understanding is a foul way and in contradiction to the clear text of the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba and the best of this Ummah. So the story is about them, about the Khawarij, and about the debate with them of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So the author, he says, وَقِصَّةُ مُنَاظَرَتِهِ لَهُمْ فِي مُسْتَدْرَكِ الْحَاكِمِ وَهِيَ بِإِسْنَادٍ صَحِيحٍ عَلَى شَرْطِ مُسْلِمٍ وَفِيهَا قَوْلُ ابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ عَنْهُمَا أَتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ عِنْدِ صَحَابَةِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ لِأُبَلِّغَكُمْ مَا يَقُولُونَ الْمُخْبِرُونَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ فَعَلَيْهِمْ نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنُ وَهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِالْوَحْيِ مِنْكُمْ وَفِيهِمْ أُنْزِلَ وليس فيكم منهم أحد فقال بعضهم لا تخاصموا قريشا فإن الله يقول بل هم قوم خاصمون. So the story of this debate with them is recorded in Al-Mustadrak by Al-Hakim, who died in the year 405, but also in other works of hadith as well, like in the Musannaf of Abd al-Razzaq, who died in the year 211, and likewise in Hilyat al-Awliya by Abu Nu'aym al-Isbahani, who died in the year 430. Likewise, in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir by Tabarani, who died in the year 360. And so this story here has been recorded by a number of scholars and their works. So the Shaykh is saying the story of this debate with him is recorded in Al-Mustadrak by Al-Hakim, likewise in other works as well, with an authentic chain according to the condition of Muslim. With an authentic chain according to the conditions of Muslim. Any meaning that this narration, this story, and this debate, the chain that has been transmitted with is reliable and good. Therefore, the story is authentic and well-known and accepted. In it, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum, I said, I came to you from among the companions of the Prophet. I came to you from among the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the immigrants and the helpers, from the muhajirin and the ansar, to convey to you what they say, and they are well experienced in what they say. I came from their side, the side of the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to inform you of what they say, and they are well experienced in that which they're speaking about. And then he said, they are the ones who received the Qur'an. And the Qur'an descended upon them in their life. And they are more knowledgeable about the revelation than you are. And the Qur'an was revealed among them. And there is not a single one of them amongst you. So this is the manner that the debate is beginning. And he's coming in this manner and he's telling them that he's coming from the side of the companions. There's two sides here. The side of the Khawarij and the side of the companions. I'm coming from the side of the companions. It's them who the revelation was revealed in their lifetime, why they witnessed the revelation and they believed and followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was revealed according to the events that occurred in their lives many times, and they're the ones who suffered great persecution and hardship along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of their faith. And it was from their efforts and after the grace of Allah azza wa jalla that the religion even spread to those who came after them. And they are the ones who have most knowledge of that revelation, the understanding and the proper application, and there's not one of them amongst you. And these are things to ponder and think over. And there's not one of them amongst you. So he's telling them that I'm coming from the side of the companions. They have knowledge of the revelation, more knowledge and understanding than you do with regards to that. And from the reason and evidence of that is that it was revealed according to events and their life, and they witnessed the revelation, and they were taught the proper interpretation from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as they were taught the proper recitation, and they applied it in the proper application that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased with. And any misunderstandings that they had in the time of the Prophet, he clarified that for them, and he rectified that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until they are upon a straight path. A great point here is to realize and know with certainty that the understanding of the Sahaba of Al-Islam is the true understanding of Al-Islam. And any understanding that's contrary to their understanding of the fundamental principles of Al-Islam and the foundations and the religion, then it's contrary. And it's not from Al-Islam. And it's not possible to be from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is the first evidence that he begins with. وَلَيْسَ فِيكُمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٌ. There's not one of them amongst you. One of them, he said, do not argue with Quraysh. And do not argue with these people. Allah, he says, Bel, it says, nay, but they are quarrelsome people. Bel hum qawmun khasimun. Do not argue with Quraysh. And this was revealed about the mushrikeen. Likewise, that there are people who are quarrelsome. So they are using this text here to refer to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, and to use it as an evidence that they do not want to debate with him. But in reality, they have nothing to say, and they are silent, and they know that they are empty-handed when it comes to any proofs with regards to this. Not one companion is among them. And no doubt the companions, they have greater knowledge and more understanding of the revelation than they do. So he says, قَالَ إِبْنَ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا وَأَتَيْتُ قَوْمًا لَمْ أَرَى قَوْمٍ قَطُّ أَشَدِّ اجْتِهَادٍ مِّنْهُمْ مُسْهَمَةٌ وُجُوهُهُمْ مِنَ السَّهَرِ كَأَنَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ وَرُكَبَهُمْ تُثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ فمضى من حضر فقال بعضهم لنكلمنه ولننظرن ما يقول قلت أخبروني ماذا نقمتم على ابن عام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسهره والمهاجرين والأنصار. So he says, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, I come to a people, and describing now the Khawarij that he came to. I came to a people among whom I have never seen more diligent in worship. And he's telling them, I'm coming from the side of the companions, not one of them is with you. Now he's telling you that these people that I've seen, that not one companion was with them, I never seen anyone more diligent in worship than them. I never seen anyone more diligent, striving hard in worship than them. Their faces were worn and darkened from sleeplessness. Their hands and knees appeared as if they were calloused from constant prostration. And in some wordings, it mentioned that their hands and the knees and their foreheads looked like their hands looked like the knees of camels because of calluses, because of how much they're prostrating and how much they're worshiping and the likes like this. And their faces have changed because of fasting. The color of their skin has changed because of fasting and lack of sleep, because of great dedication and worship. So this is their description. This is their description, along with their understanding. Along with their understanding. So it says, so these present said, let us speak to him and see what he has to say. I said to them, tell me, what do you have against the cousin of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his son-in-law, along with the Muhajireen and the Ansar, along with the Muhajireen and the Ansar? I mean, what do you have against Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhum, and the rest of the companions who are along with them? Why did you break away from them? Why are you ready to fight them? Why are you arguing and disputing with them? What is the discord about? قَالُوا ثَلَاثًا. They said, we have three things. We have three things against them. Three things we noticed and we're taking them to account for. قُلْتُ وَمَا هُنَّ قُلْتُ مَا هُنَّ. He said, what are they? قَالُوا أَمَّا إِحْدَاهُنَّ فَإِنَّهُ حَكَمَ الرِّجَالَ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَمَا لِلرِّجَالِ وَمَا لِلْحُكْمُ فَقُلْتُ هَذِهِ وَاحِدَةً قَالُوا وَأَمَّا الْأُخْرَى فَإِنَّهُ قَاتَلَ وَلَمْ يَسْبِ وَلَمْ يَغْنَمْ فَلَئِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي قَاتَلَ كُفَارًا لَقَدْ حَلَّ سَبْيُهُمْ وَغَنِيمَتُهُمْ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ مَا حَلَّ قِتَالُهُمْ قُلْتُ هَذِهِ ثَنْتَانِ فَمَا الثَّالِثَةُ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مَحَى نَفْسَهُ مِنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فهو أمير الكافرين. قلت أعندكم سوى هذا؟ قالوا حسبنا هذا. So they said, we have three things against him. We have three issues that we're holding them to, that we have against them, holding them to account. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, he says, I said, what are they? They said, he appointed men to judge in matters, in a matter that belongs only to Allah. He appointed men to judge in a matter that belongs only to Allah. Allah, he says, the decision rests only with Allah. Then the judgment is for Allah alone in entirety. So what have men got to do with the judgment? What have men got to do with the judgment? And he declaring the ruling. I said, is that all? They said, that is one. I said, what is the second one? They said, he fought but did not take captives nor spoils of war. If those he fought were disbelievers, then taking captives and spoils of war was permissible. And if they were believers, it was not permissible to fight them. I said, that is two. What is the third? They said, he erased his title, commander of the believers. If he's not the commander of the believers, then he's the commander of the disbelievers. I said, do you have anything else? And they said, this is sufficient for us. This is sufficient for us. So this is what is causing them to revolt. And this is the understanding that they have. And this is why they had discord and enmity and rancor in their heart. Because they claimed that, in al-hukmu illa lillah. In al-hukmu illa lillah. This is a statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. And whenever these affairs they come up, even it's mentioned to Ali radiallahu anhu that he said about the likes of this, كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ يُرَادُ بِهَا باطل, that this is a statement of truth, but they intend falsehood by way of it. They have a very foul and bad misunderstanding. They have a very foul and bad misunderstanding. Whenever there was a dispute, it came to a head, and Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu anhuma, they had agreed to send an individual from both sides. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari from the side of Ali and Amr ibn al-As from the side of Muawiyah radiallahu anhum jamiyan to come to a truce. The Ali and Muawiyah, they backed away and they send two people to arbitrate from each side. One from each side to come to a truce, to a decision, to stop the fighting. To stop the fighting. So the Khawarij, they found fault with this. They found fault with this. So they're blaming him because of this. How can he send men to judge in the affair of Allah? How can he send men to judge in the affair of Allah? And then along with that, he didn't take captives. He fought them and didn't take captives. And he did not take spoils of war. Rather, he would order the people that anyone from them who flees, you leave them and let them go and do not chase after them. And do not take any of the property that they leave behind. This was the order of Ali radiallahu anhu. So they found fault with that likewise. they found fault with that likewise. And then in the truce, whenever they want to sign the truce between the people, he removed the name Amir al-Mu'mineen from the contract and from the treaties. And they also found fault with this. And they also found fault with this. So these are the three affairs. So he says, فَقُلْتُ لَهُمْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ قَرَأْتَ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ قَرَأْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ سُنَّةِ نَبِيهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا يُرَدُّ بِهِ قَوْلُكُمْ أَتَرْضَوْنَ قَالُوا نَعَمْ فَقُلْتُ أَمَّا قَوْلُكُمْ حَكَّمَ الرِّجَالَ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ فَأَنَا أَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا قَدْ رُدَّ حُكْمُهُ إِلَى الرِّجَالِ فِي الثُّمَنِ رُبِعِ دِرْهَمٍ فِي أَرْنَبٍ وَنَحْوِهَا مِنَ الصَّيْدِ فَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ. I said to them, suppose I recite to you from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what refutes your claims? Will you be satisfied? They said, yes. I said, as for your statement that He appointed men to judge in a matter that belongs only to Allah, I shall recite to you what Allah made men judges over, in the matter of a quarter dirham, in a rabbit and the likes. Allah, He says, the meaning of which is, O you who believe, do not kill game while you're in the state of ihram. And whoever of you kills intentionally, the penalty is an offering brought to the Kaaba of an eatable animal equivalent to the one he killed, as adjudged by two just men among you. So here this is a ruling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for those who are in the state of al-ihram. They're in the state of al-ihram to perform al-umrah or al-hajj. In the state of al-ihram, to perform al-umrah or al-hajj, it's not allowed for them to hunt while they're in that state. And if they kill an animal of game intentionally, then they must pay a recompense, a fidyah, and pay an expiation for that, and a ransom for that. And they must pay for that violation. What will they pay? They'll pay the equivalent of the animal that they killed unlawfully while they're in the state of ihram. They'll kill the equivalent of that. Who will determine what is the equivalent of that animal? Because the animals of game are many. Maybe they're hunting rabbits, maybe they're hunting birds, maybe they're hunting the wild donkeys, maybe they're hunting other animals and the likes like this. So some of them are large and some of them are small. Some of them are large and some of them are small. So a rabbit is not the same size, for example, as a wild donkey, like a zebra, for example. They're not the same. One is much larger than the other. So who would determine what is an equivalent? With one of these animals? In this particular ruling here, Allah has said that two just men will be the judge in that affair. So in general, it has come back to what has been mentioned in the Sunnah or what has been judged by the Sahaba or the after that, what the people of knowledge have clarified. Yani, so this is what he's referring to here. If somebody was in ihram, and then, for example, he's seen a rabbit and he hunted it and killed it, now he's going to have to pay equivalent to that. So what's the equivalent for that? Who is going to judge and decide? There's going to be two men who are experienced in these affairs, and they're able to identify and see the resemblances between these animals and other animals, and they're going to make a comparison and say that this rabbit, for example, now he has to slaughter a sheep. If he killed this animal, he has to slaughter a camel. If he killed this animal, he has to slaughter a sheep. Like this, they're going to judge in this manner. If he killed this bird, for example, if he killed a pigeon, he has to slaughter a sheep. This is what the people of knowledge, they have ruled with. This is a ruling that is established. For example, if a person, he killed a pigeon in the haram, then he has to slaughter a sheep for that. Even in the haram, because the ruling is the same. For the person who is in the haram, wherever he may be, and a person who is inside the haram, likewise, in or inside the ihram or outside, with the ihram or without the ihram, it's not allowed to hunt there. So there's a jazat, a recompense to pay in both cases. So the point is now that who would decide what one he will make as an expiation? What animal will be slaughtered? Would he slaughter a camel? Would he slaughter a sheep? What is the animal that's going to be equivalent to the animal that he hunted unlawfully? So in this particular issue, Allah, He left it up for men to decide. Two men, specifically. We understand? So this is what He's clarifying here. This is what He's talking about now. So He says, فَنَشَدُكُمْ اللَّهَ أَحُكْمُ الرِّجَالِ فِي أَرْنَبُ وَنَحْوِهَا مِنَ السَّيْدِ أَفْضَلُ أَمْ حُكْمُهُمْ فِي دِمَائِهِمْ وصلاح ذات بينهم. وأن تعلموا أن الله لو شاء لحكم ولم يسير ذلك إلى الرجال. He said, I call you by Allah. Is the judgment by men in matters concerning their blood and reconciliation among them more important, or judgment concerning the price of a rabbit and the likes? Or judgment concerning the price of a rabbit and the likes? Which one is more important? That men will come in to decide and to judge between sweat settling and a case with regards to the blood of the believers, or with regards to a rabbit and its price? Which one is greater? He says, and Allah, had He willed, could have judged directly, but He delegated the matter to men. And yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He could have mentioned in His book, whoever kills this one, then the jaza is this one. Whoever kills this one, then the jaza is this one. And whoever kills this one, then the jaza is this one. But Allah, He didn't clarify those details in the book. Rather, He left the delegation up to men to decide this affair and to make the final judgment. وَفِي الْمَرْأَةِ وَزَوْجِهَا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ حُكْمَ الرِّجَالِ سُنَّةً مَأْمُونَةً أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذِهِ قَالُوا نَعَمْ. He said, in the matter of a man and his wife, Allah, He said, if you fear a breach between them, if you fear a breach between the two of them, appoint two arbitrators, one from his family and the other from hers. If they both wish for peace, Allah will cause their reconciliation. He says, thus Allah has made the judgment by men a protected and affirmed sunnah, and a sound and affirmed sunnah. So in the case of the game that's hunted by one who is in the state of ihram, the recompense for that will be decided and determined by men. And this is the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, whenever a man and his wife, they have a falling out, and there's a dispute in the household that they cannot solve themselves, then it's legislated, and in the judgment of Allah in His book, that they will pick men, one from each side, one from each household, and they will come together to try to rectify the affairs and bring a truce. So if that's the case between the price of a rabbit, like he's saying, for example, or between a man and his wife, then how about the blood of Muslims in great armies? How about the blood of Muslims and great armies? So therefore, their understanding is a foul understanding and a very limited understanding. Maybe they have memorized some of the text, but they don't understand them properly. They don't see them with clear sight, and they don't understand them in a sound and good way. Knowledge is like light. And if you have knowledge, alhamdulillah, you have light. But if you just have a little knowledge, then you just have a little light. And if a person has a little light, he will not be able to see very far. But somebody who has more knowledge, he'll be able to see further than that. So somebody may have a little knowledge and think that it's good to go here, but if he goes here, he will find out that after that, there's a pit hole. After that, there's dangers. So the one who has more knowledge, he will see that, and he will know that that's not the proper choice to make. And likewise, the one who's not able to see that, knowledge also brings peace and contentment into the heart, makes a person easy. So the more knowledge he has, the more he can deal with life and its challenges, the more he can face that, the more he is accepting and understands the realities and why things occur, and the more he's able to deal with these challenges or these hardships and face them in a noble manner. But whenever a person has little knowledge, then his heart becomes tight very easily, and he becomes bothered, and problems, and he become greater than they really are because of a lack of knowledge and determination and patience. So the one who has more knowledge, he'll be able to see further, and he'll be able to understand the affairs in a more clear and better manner. He'll be able to handle these challenges more proper and correctly, and thus have better judgment and safer and more sound outcomes. So these people, they maybe have some knowledge, maybe they memorize some verses from the Quran, but they don't have true light, they're not grounded, and they do not understand them any properly or have a complete understanding of the evidence in the text. And this is what causes them to use these evidences in a manner contrary. In opposition to the understanding of the Sahaba. So then after he clarified this for them, and they used one verse as the evidence for them. So he brought two other verses in the same issue, clarifying that the understanding of Adi was proper according to all of these verses. So no doubt the judgment is for Allah alone. Nobody's denying that. But Allah has said in certain circumstances that men, they will judge for the sake of Allah, according to the knowledge and the principles that Allah has revealed in His book and in the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then that will be the judgment, and the people will go based by that. And the people will go based by that. So therefore, he's not going against the book of Allah. Rather, he's implementing the book of Allah and applying the book of Allah. So now they see this. So he said to them, أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذِهِ. Are we finished with this one? Are we done with this one? Are we done with, you have three problems, three things you're taking up against him. Here, this is the first one. أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذِهِ. Are we done with this one? They said, yes, we're done with this one. We figured this one out. You understand? This is where they're at. He says, قَالَ وَأَمَّا قَوْلُكُمْ قَاتَلَ وَلَمْ يَسْبِي وَلَمْ يَغْنَمْ أَتَسْبُونَ أُمَّكُمْ عَائِشَةً رضي الله عنها ثم تستحلون منها ما يستحل من غيرها فلئن فعلتم لقد كفرتم وهي أمكم ولئن قلتم ليست أمنا لقد كفرتم فإن الله يقول النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم فأنتم تدورون بين ضلالتين أيهما سرتم إليها سرتم إلى ضلالة فنظر بعضهم إلى بعض قلت أخرجت من هذا قالوا نعم. He said, I then said, as for your claim that he fought but did not take captives nor spoils of war, would you take your mother Aisha and consider her permissible regarding her and what is permissible regarding others? And would you take your mother Aisha captive and then take her as a prisoner of war and then turn her to a slave and then consider what's permissible to do with her, what you would consider permissible to do with the other slave women that you take as captives from spoils of war? You got his point? He says, if you say yes, then you have committed disbelief. If you say yes, we're going to take her captive. Yes, we're going to declare her permissible. She will become our property. If you say yes, then you have disbelieved. And he said, if you deny that she's your mother, then also you have committed disbelief. Because Allah, he says, the Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their, and his wives are their mothers. And the believers, the mothers of the believers. So he's saying to them now, you're caught between two extreme misguidances. You're caught right now between two. Either way you go, it's in clear disbelief. Either way you go, it's in clear disbelief. Either you declare her to be lawful for you, you take your mother, Aisha, radiallahu anha, the beloved wife of the Prophet Muhammad, as a captive and a slave, and you declare permissible from her what you declare permissible from the slave women and the spoils of war, or you claim that she's not your mother. And Allah clarified in His book that she is the mother of the believers. So if you take this way, then you have disbelieved. And if you take that way, then you have disbelief. So now you're between two great aspects of misguidance. He said, you are caught between two misguidances. Whichever one you choose, you will fall into misguidance. Then some of them started looking at each other. Could you imagine the situation? Whenever this part came clear, now they, maybe some of them who are sincere and the other ones who are riling them up, who will look and be like, this is what you got me here for? Right? You got me here. Oh, man. He's like, are you serious? This is a really big problem. You understand? This is really, they're in a really big problem. Somebody who is truthful and sincere be like, oh, this is what we're talking about? This is what you called me for? He might want to make horoj against his friends now. Oh, you got me over here with this type of stuff. This is crazy. You guys lost your mind. But this is the case of the Khawarij. And this is the first of them. And they continue in a similar manner, time after time, generation after generation. Even if the names change and the likes, they have the same way. They have the same way until today. So he says, are we done with this one? أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذَا. Are we finished with this one now? And can we put this one behind us? They said, yes. Yes. He said, وَأَمَّا قَوْلُكُمْ مَا حَاسْمَهُ مِنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَأَنَا آتِيكُمْ بِمَنْ تَرَضَوْنَا وَأُرِيكُمْ فأنا آتيكم بمن ترضون وأريكم قد سمعتم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الحديبية كاتب سهيل بن عمرو وأبا سفيان بن حرب فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأمير المؤمنين اكتب يا علي هذا ما اصطلح عليه محمد رسول الله فقال مشركون لا والله لو نعلم أنك رسول الله ما قتلناك فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنك تعلم أني رسول الله اكتب يا علي هذا ما اصطلح عليه محمد بن عبد الله هذا ما اصطلح عليه محمد ابن عبد الله. I said, as for your claim that he erased his title of commander of the believers, let me bring you something you accept. Did you not hear that on the day of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made an agreement with Suhail ibn Amr and Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Ali radiallahu anhu, writes, O Ali, this is what Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, has agreed upon with Suhail and Abu Sufyan. He said, but the polytheists, they said, no, by Allah, if we knew that you were the Messenger of Allah, we would not have fought you. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wants to write in the treaties. Muhammad, Rasulullah, agrees with the Quraysh upon this, upon this, upon this. They said, no. If we're not going to write that. If we believe you're the Messenger of Allah, we're not going to fight you in the first place. No, we're not going to, we don't agree to that. Take that part off. Take that part, which part? Rasulullah. Huh? Rasulullah. You understand that? So the polytheists, they said, by Allah, if we knew you were the Messenger of Allah, we would not have fought you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Allah, you know that I am your messenger. Right, O Ali, this is what Muhammad ibn Abdullah agreed upon. This is what Muhammad ibn Abdullah agreed upon. And meaning he removed the title, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he says, فَوَاللَّهِ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عَلِيٍ وَمَا أَخْرَجَهُ مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ حِينَ مَحَ نَفْسَهُ قال عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما فرجع من القوم الثاني وقتل سائرهم على ضلالة. By Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was better than Ali, yet he did not leave his prophethood by erasing the title. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he said, thus 2,000 of them returned to the truth, and the rest were killed upon their misguidance. And the rest were killed upon their misguidance. The Shaykh, he says, فَفِي هَذِهِ الْقِصَّةِ أَنَّ أَلْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْخَوَارِجِ رَجُعُوا عَنْ بَاطِلِهِمْ لِلْإِضَاحِ وَالْبَيَانِ الَّذِي حَصَلَ مِنْ إِبْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا وَفِي ذَلِكَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ الرُّجُوعَ إِلَى أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ فِيهِ السَّلَامَةِ مِنَ الشُّرُورِ وَالْفِتِنِ وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhahullah, in this story, 2,000 of the Khawarij returned from their falsehood due to the clarification and explanation provided by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. This proves that returning to the scholars leads to safety from evil and tribulations. Allah the Almighty, he said, so ask the people of the reminder if you do not know. And he asked the people of knowledge if you do not know. So this is a great story with so many great benefits, clarifying the proper understanding of the religion and likewise the ways of deviation and the foul outcome of being away from the people of knowledge, at the head of them the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the safety and security of being along with the people of knowledge, understanding and following the guidance of the people of knowledge, at the head of them the Sahaba. So the proper understanding of Al-Islam is the understanding of the Sahaba. This is number one. And then likewise, the proper understanding and guidance is found with the people of knowledge, not with the young ones or the youth or the people of deviation or the people of misguidance or the people of whims, the people who have not learned, the people who do not have teachers, even if they are known for worship, even if they're devout in ibadah, even if they're doing righteous good deeds. Like these people here, they reached a high level of worship, but it's upon ignorance. It's upon ignorance. It's not upon a sound understanding. Therefore, it will not benefit them. So we shouldn't be deceived by someone in their worship, or if they cry, or because they have a beard, or they wear an imamah, or the likes like this. This is not all sufficient. Or if they stand in the prayer, or if he memorized the whole Quran, or if he has a tazkiyah. All of this is not sufficient simply by itself. For the person, he must look to where they learn, and their manners and their conduct, and the application of the religion that they're upon, and the understanding that they follow. So a person, he must follow the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and those upon their way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. And if they believe in the likes of what you believe, then they will be guided. So there's no guidance except by believing in the likes of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, believed in. And those who oppose that understanding, then they will be landed in the hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, وَمَن يُشَاقِكَ الرَّسُولَ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ السَّبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. That whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has been made clear to him, and they follow a way other than that of the believers, the time of this revelation, the only believers were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whoever opposes the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance is clear and follows away other than the believers, other than the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and those upon their way, then we will leave them in that which we have chosen. Then we'll leave them in that which they have chosen. We'll leave them in their misguidance. Allah, He mentioned about that. Likewise, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Whenever they deviated, Allah caused their hearts to deviate. Whenever the truth is made clear to them and then they choose desires and whims over that truth, then this is a means for the heart to go astray and to be misled, and for a person to be misguided, and for Allah to leave an individual to his own desires. We'll leave him to what he has chosen, and we'll land him in the hellfire, and such evil is that destination. So again, here this is a clear clarification of the obligation of seeking knowledge in the proper manner, from the proper sources. And this is the way the first innovation was introduced into al-Islam, because the people, they studied the Book of Allah, and they worship Allah without knowledge. They studied the Book of Allah, yet they did not have the proper teachers and did not get their knowledge from the proper sources. And this led them to have a bad understanding. And this is a sign that Allah does not want good for them. As for those who have a good understanding, they take knowledge from the proper sources and they learn in the correct manner, little by little, showing priority to that which takes precedence in the likes like this, then this is a sign that Allah wants good for them. This is a sign that Allah wants good for them. So for this reason, we find many narrations, any from the Salaf, about this affair, about the great blessing of being guided to the people of the Sunnah. And it's been narrated from Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great Imam of the Sunnah, who died in the year 131. He said, إِنَّ مِنْ سَعَادَةِ الْحَدِثِ وَالْعَجَمِ أَنْ يُوَفِّقَهُمَ اللَّهُ لِعَالِمٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ. That indeed, among the means of happiness and success of a youth, of a young man and a non-Arab, meaning a new Muslim, is that Allah grants them success by guiding them to a scholar from the people of the Sunnah. So to be guided to the people of the Sunnah and to a person of knowledge specifically from the people of the Sunnah, to learn from it, to benefit from it, for him to cultivate and to raise them, to direct them and to advise them, this is from the greatest favors and blessings. This is from the greatest favors and blessings, especially for the youth, especially for the non-Arab, even for a Muslim in general. Even for a Muslim in general, this is the means of guidance. This is the means of light and blessing that a person, he will meet the right people. He'll be in the hands of the people of the Sunnah, the people of knowledge and understanding, the people of guidance and light, the people of insight and forbearance, the people of noble manners and sincerity, truthfulness upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will bring great benefit and light for a person by the grace of Allah azza wa jal. Likewise, it's narrated as well by Ibn Shawthib, rahimahullah. He said, إِنَّ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَى الشَّابِ إِذَا تَنَسَّكَ أَنْ يُوَاخِيَ صَاحِبَ السُنَّةِ يَحْمِلُهُ عَلَيْهَا. That indeed among Allah's blessings upon a young man when he becomes devoted to worship is that he befriends a person of the Sunnah. That he befriends a person of the Sunnah who will direct him and guide him to the Sunnah. So companions are of utmost importance. The best companionship to have and company to have is with the people of knowledge, the scholars and the students of knowledge, and those upon that way. So the author, he continues, Hafidhullah. On this topic, clarifying the importance of knowledge and the benefit of being in the company of the people of knowledge. He says, وَمِمَّا يَدُولُ عَلَى أَنَّ الرُّجُوعَ إِلَى أَهْلِ الْإِلْمِ خَيْرٌ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي أَمُورِ دِينِهِمْ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ مَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ فِي صَحِيحِهِ عَنْ يَزِيدٍ الْفَقِيرِ قَالَ كُنْتُ قَدْ شَغَفَنِي رَأْيٌ مِنْ رَأْيِ الْخَوَارِجِ فَخَرَجْنَا فِي إِصَابَةٍ ذُوِي أَدَدٍ نُرِيدُ أَنْ نَحُجَّ ثُمَّ نَخْرُجَ عَلَى النَّاسِ قَالَ فَمَرَرْنَا عَلَى مَدِينَةٍ فَإِذَا جَابِرُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يُحَدِّثُ الْقَوْمَ جَالِسٌ إِلَى السَّارِيَةِ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ فَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ ذَكَرَ الْجَهَنَّمِيِّينَ قَالَ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا صَاحِبَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا هَذَا الَّذِي تُحَدِّثُونَ وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلَ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ وَكُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. He said, among the proofs that returning to the scholars is good for the Muslims in matters of their religion and worldly affairs is what Muslim narrated in his Sahih from Yazid al-Faqir, who said, a certain view from the views of the Khawarij fascinated me. So we went out as a group intending to perform Hajj and then revolted against the people. We passed by Al-Madinah, and there was Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma sitting there, a pillar, narrating to the people about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned the people of the hellfire who would be brought out. So I said to him, O companion of the Messenger of Allah, what is this that you're narrating? By Allah, Allah, he says, our Lord, verily, whom you admit to the fire, indeed you have disgraced him. Whenever they desire to get out from the fire, then they are put back therein. This narration here in Sahih Muslim is longer than what we have time left for. So inshallah, we stop here. And we can take any questions or comments or corrections while we're waiting for the Iqamah. And we start with this story here from Yazid al-Faqir, inshallah. Rahimahullah, in our class tomorrow. Who can mention some benefits from the story, the munadara, the debate of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma with the Khawarij? Yes.
When there's a dispute or something we disagree on, we turn to the Quran and the Sunnah to find our evidences for, you know, the correct position.
Whenever there's a dispute, we turn back to the Quran and the Sunnah to solve our dispute. But even more than that, because this is what they're doing. The Khawarij, they're returning back to the Quran, right? But they have a bad understanding. This is the point. So the people that we're debating with from the Muslims, the people of desires and whims, and they have a bad understanding. It's mentioned that whenever he was going to debate with them, that Ali, he told him, radiallahu anhu, don't debate with him with the Quran, debate with him with the Sunnah. He said they're people of Quran, but they don't know the Sunnah. He said the Quran, hammal al-wujuh. The Quran can be understood in more than one light. It can be interpreted in more than one meaning. Debate with him with the Sunnah. This one will silence them. So this is what he did. Also, it's mentioned in the beginning in other narrations. As I mentioned, this is collected in a number of different works. So the narrations, they complete each other and he can clarify each other. And in one wording, it's mentioned that he put on his nicest garment, a hula yamaniya, a very nice garment from Yemen. And he got himself prepared very well whenever he went to them and the likes, and they're finding fault with him about that likewise. And whenever he's seen them, and they have rough clothes on and the likes like this, and he has all these nice clothing on, and they're finding fault with him. What are you coming here for? And what is this nice garments that you're wearing? He says, I swear by Allah, I've seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very handsome, wearing garments way nicer than the ones that I'm wearing right now. And it's known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear the same Yemeni types of garments, al-hulla al-yamaniya, that this was something that was narrated and well known about that. So he did this on purpose, and to let them know where he's coming from and what he's about and the knowledge that he has, so he could work his way into debating with them and to clarifying the truth for them. Another benefit. Yes. Allahu Akbar. The evidence of knowledge and proof from the Quran and Sunnah is stronger than the fighting the forces of the sword. So there's two forces, the forces of knowledge and the force of the iron, the force of knowledge, clarification, and the force of iron, and fighting, and physical strength. So in reality, they come hand in hand. And that's how the religion is spread through the land, with knowledge and also with iron. With knowledge and also with iron. With iron, with evidence and proof. But the origin is the evidence and the proof. This is the strong force. Allah, he calls the evidences of the Quran and Sunnah in the book Sultan, Sultan al-Hujjah wal-Bayan. It's called Sultan, the knowledge, the evidences, because it has authority over the hearts. The knowledge, whenever it's profound and sound, and whenever it's mentioned properly, it takes control of the hearts, and people are guided by the permission of Allah. هذا صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.